This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
Hello, listener. Thank you for tuning into this podcast where I bring to your ears inspiring conversations with some of the best artists, singers, composers, lyricists. Every week I talk to a musical genius to find out their creative discipline. I am Eva Bhatt and you are listening to 9XM Soundcast from India's leading music channel 9XM. Do subscribe to this podcast on Epilogue Media, your one stop for engaging and entertaining podcasts. Karsh Kale, a name that has been synonymous to being exposed to global music. He is a musician that has carved a niche for himself, and undoubtedly nobody has been able to touch that coveted space that he enjoys. I vividly remember getting excited about owning a Karsh Kale cassette during my college days in Ahmedabad, and as a hostel kid always wanting to attend one gig of his. But little did I know that that far-fetched desire of mine would culminate so beautifully when I would get the chance to interact so closely with the award-winning artist. Karsh Kale, for those of you who might not be aware, he is one of the pioneering figures in defining the Asian underground genre. He has collaborated with Indian maestros like Pandit Ravi Shankar, Ustad Zakir Hussain, to international artists like Sting, U2 and many others. He is globally renowned for his tabla drumming or the electronic tabla. He received much praise as well as awards for his score and his two songs in Gully Boy. His latest album Touch comprises of five powerful tracks, a must-listen for all music lovers across the world. Listener, please join me as I welcome the Karsh Kale on 9XM Soundcast, connected with us remotely from Goa.
Awesome. Once again, thank you so much for having me.
So for all our, you know, listeners, and especially the young listeners and viewers of this podcast, Karsh, I would request you to kind of go back in time and kind of, let us take a sneak peek into your childhood, because it would be very interesting and intriguing for us to know as to how did music really, what kind of music shaped you and influenced you in your growing years. So a bit about your background.
Well, I mean, I was very much inspired by music at a very young age. I mean, some of my first memories are musical memories. So by the time I was 3 years old, I was listening to music, studying what I was listening to as well. And I was surrounded by lots of styles of music. My father was playing a lot of Indian classical music in the house, film music. And then, of course, there was the pop music that I was growing up listening to on the radio. And, you know, as I got older, I was very much into the drums. And because I was a drummer, I was very much into a lot of progressive music, progressive rock, progressive jazz, things like that. And then I was also into hip hop music and break dancing. And of course, Michael Jackson had a big influence on our whole generation. And then slowly I started getting into electronic music and film score music and things like that. So I just kept on, I think, because I was surrounded by so many different styles of music and allowed a lot of those things to just kind of naturally mix. Later on, when I was in college, that's when I really started to compose my own music and bring a lot of those different influences together into one sound. You know, and of course, growing up in the middle of all of that, my father introduced me to tabla. And that became, you know, one of the main instruments that I was exploring as I, you know, began to produce music.
Wow. But I also feel, Karsh Kale, that, you know, the fact that you set out on a different path and not the traditional route compared to other musicians, and at that point of time, you carved your own niche, that must have been a different challenge altogether. You know, in that initial phase of your career, you know, now times are different. You know, people are consuming all kinds of music. But then at that point of time, doing something so, you know, radically different. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I don't think I ever set out to make anything that would be appealing to a mass audience. Because whatever I was thinking, whatever I was hearing in my head, if I was listening to whatever muse I was listening to, it was telling me something very particular. And it had a lot to do with my own identity. And it just so happened that that identity was analogous to so many people within my generation. So that became the first audience that I was making music for. But you know, you don't ever set out to create a niche. Or what I did was just listen to, you know, the inspiration that I had in my head and try and follow that and try and follow that to the end. For me, you know, success came from realizing a particular sound. And, you know, whenever I would hear something in my head and I would spend time in the studio working on that sound and I would arrive at that sound, that was it for me. That was, you know, and then of course playing it in front of people and getting that feedback and having that, and then having that become a soundtrack for them. You know, these are all things that just kind of happen naturally. But I think that what you were saying before in terms of, you know, those who break the trodden path of what traditional music is supposed to be, I don't think that, I think that when we think about traditional anything, it's just a look, it's a snapshot looking back at what that music was or is at that moment. But I mean, if you look at film music from India, from the very beginnings of film music, or if you look at classical music today, classical music wouldn't sound the way it does if it wasn't for the vision of people like Shiv Kumar Sharma and Zakir Hussain and Ravi Shankar. And they heard something after they had learned the tradition, they heard something else. And so they went on that lifelong pursuit to find that sound. So it, just like that, myself and many other artists in my generation, we were introduced to a lot of new technology. So then we were, the boundaries we were stepping outside of was just the instrument. So meaning for me, it wasn't just about the tablas. It was about who can the tabla interact with and how can the tabla as a language speak to many other different languages. You know, so that's where the interaction between electronic music and rock music and so many different styles of music, because in fact, tabla, much more than any other percussion instrument, has an actual language. And just like hip hop can be spoken and can be performed in any country all over the world, I always felt like the tabla had that same potential.
Wow, amazing. I think I really loved the word pursuit that you used, because I think that, you know, the pursuit to find just explore, you know, different sounds and different kinds of music is what really, you know, made you, you know, Karsh Kale. So further going, let's really listen to, you know, something, Karsh, for all our listeners. You know, something, if I could request you to play, you know, something for us. Wow, thank you so much. You collaborated with, you know, as I said, some really great maestros. So how was that experience? If something that you have, you know, whatever you have learned from, you know, your various experiences, if you can share with us.
Well, I mean, one thing for sure is, you know, when I first started making this type of music or the kind of music that I make, I was doing it by myself with a small community of people in New York. I had no idea what the community at large, what the reception would be. At that particular time, I was sampling Indian classical musicians and putting them into tracks and working them with drum and bass tracks and electronica and it just experimenting. And then all of a sudden, I started working with people like Nishat Khan and Ustad Sultan Khan And then, of course, joining Tabla Beat Science with Ustad Zakir Hussain and Sultan Khan. And then all of a sudden realizing that they were finding what I was doing inspiring and getting their blessing to not necessarily follow in their path of the traditional path, but to continue on the path that I was at was a huge thing for me. I think once I, you know, I think everybody, because I never really had a guru in that way, never had a real teacher. I learned from many different people and studied a lot by myself. So to come from a place where you're trying something new and then to get the blessing from the greatest in the world, from people like Pandit Ravi Shankar and Ustad Zakir Hussain, Supad Khan, that was the, you know, I think for me, the launching pad to, you know, allow me to then, you know, if you were asking like, where does one find the courage to do something like that? I didn't need any courage after that because, you know, if Zakir Bhai says you can do it, then you can do it.
Right. I would also like to know about your Indian roots. You know, you are a Maharashtrian. Something about that, you know, would be really interesting.
Well, I mean, I grew up, even though I grew up in New York and Long Island, my parents kept us on a steady diet of Lavani music and a lot of Marathi old films and a lot of Natya Sangeet and things right. like that. So, yeah, so this was a, and you know, when I was growing up, I used to go every year we used to go to the Brahm Maharashtra Mandal convention, which right. would be all the Maharashtrians of America would get together and you know, connect. And for the kids, it was just for us to be able to, and some, you know, I met some lifelong friends and family, you know, through those experiences.
Right. But ultimately your, you know, your Mumbai roots, if I can say, brought you, yeah. You know, to play such a pivotal role in a movie like Gully Boy. So great. Lovely. Gosh, it has been just so, so amazing, you know, having you, just having you on this podcast. It means a lot. Wow, kya baat hai. And so tell me, Karsh, you know, you were doing so well, you know, in your particular, you know, genre, if I can say. But then how did, you know, the Hindi mainstream cinema really happen in your life? And you are a perfect example, if I can say that, if you have the belief in yourself and your music, then, you know, there is no such thing that, you know, you can't get into, say, Bollywood, or if like Bollywood or any other industry wouldn't like really, you know, find your music relatable, or, you know, your music could then fit into any sort of, any kind of, you know, creation. So you have set a perfect example, you know, with a film like Gully Boy.
I mean, for me, I've always had very close friends who have worked and thrived in the Bollywood scene. For me, music is, like I said, music is a language. And it's a language that can be spoken in any, you know, if you speak that language, you can speak it in any different conversation that you might need to have. Right. You know, for me, that on the same year that that Gully Boy came out, I also was asked to do a remake for U2. You know, and that for me is a completely different world.
Oh my
but
God.
How I take whatever it is that I say and I do as an artist, I can then bring that to, you know, whatever, whether it's an orchestral situation or if it's a heavy metal situation, or, you know, if I'm joining something as a drummer, I bring all of those different sensibilities. And what makes it unique is that, you know, you're using different languages and kind of speaking a multilingual, you know, dialect at the same time, you know, or all at once. You know, so something like Gully Boy for me was, you know, I never set out to be in Bollywood per se, but it just so happened that it worked out that the aesthetic that I had been kind of been working at for a while, and the vision that Zoya had, and the vision that Ankur Tiwari, the music right. supervisor, had, you know, for the film, all of that kind of came together in a really, you know, wonderful way. So that all of us were able to kind of use our strengths to make this big story, you know. But I must say that the real success of the film has to do with the fact that it's about street music. It's about the streets. And anytime you tell a story about what's really happening on the streets, people are going to resonate.
So rightly said. I must say, listening to your music over a period of so many years now, I feel that every album of yours, even if it's just instrumental, you know, each track tells you a story. You know, and same is the case with Touch, your latest album. Every track is giving out a powerful story, sometimes an emotional experience. So tell us about the making of this album, Karsh.
Well, Touch is an album that I created solely through the lockdown of 2020. So I started it when I had flown back to, I was originally supposed to fly back to the States for about 3 weeks to do some concerts and then come back to Goa.
Right.
Instead, I got grounded in New York and stayed there for 6 months, had all my shows canceled and didn't come to Goa until August of that year. So basically spent 6 months in Brooklyn and 6 months in Goa. So what I was able to do was start working on my own music. And, you know, the tracks are very much reflections of what I was going through this pandemic. And I think probably analogous to what a lot of people were going through, a lot of longing and despair mixed with hope and sometimes just wanting to dance. You know, and the idea of the title Touch, it kind of harkens upon what I think a lot of people needed over the past year. You know, we were all isolated. We were all separated from our families, separated from loved ones, separated from friends. And months went by before we were able to literally touch each other. So that is really where that title and, you know, the inspiration for the track came from. I mean, two things I would say. One, just to any aspiring artist, to continue to be open to learning something new every day.
Wow.
Nothing is in music is solid. It's fluid.
Fluid.
And it's always moving. It's always evolving. So even an idea that comes to you, an inspiration, by the time you're done with it, it will be something else. And you have to be open to allowing that. But the second thing I'd say to any musician who wants to be like me, I would say the same thing that musicians that I said that to said to me, which was, you should try and be a musician like yourself.
Let's listen something from you now, Karsh. You are there with your tabla. I would take the, you know, chance to request you to play something for us. Thank you once again. Let's of course, you know, learn from you, Karsh. You know, the unique art of, you know, tabla drumming is something that you are globally renowned for, something that you could enlighten us. I can't be, you know, talking much about it. Tell me about, you know, this thing of yours that is so much loved, tabla drumming.
Well, I think that for me, I mean, when people say, you know, that you're a world-renowned tabla player. I know of hundreds of tabla players who are scary, skill-wise, you know, and taking different gharanas to, you know, different levels.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, that was never my pursuit. My pursuit as a tabla player was to be an artist who explores the different places that it could go.
Wow.
And once that door is open, other people are walking through those doors and doing phenomenal things with that. When I was growing up, I did study classical tabla. I did want to play classical tabla for a while, but I realized at some point that there's only so many hours in the day, and there's only so much that I can devote to something that really requires all of your devotion if you're going to go in that direction. So, you know, I don't consider myself a classical tabla player, even though I do once or twice a year do a classical concert. But more than anything, I like to take all of the different things that I learned as a tabla player and apply them in new and interesting ways. And if I've contributed anything as a tabla player, I think that's it.
Also, Karsh, share with us some of your gig experiences, especially with, somebody like Sting or U2. Of course, you know, everybody is a huge U2 and a Sting fan. I'm sure listeners would be excited to know something about, you know, your experience of collaborating with them.
While I was growing up, I was a huge Sting fan. And of course, a huge U2 fan as well. I was a huge Police fan. And I had thought to myself that maybe one day I might be able to possibly play some drums with him or, you know, sit in as a tabla player. But the opportunity came when we were working on the Breathing Underwater album to write a song, and which he had asked, he had basically said, you guys have to write this song because I don't have time. But I'd love to collaborate. So as a songwriter, for me, that was probably one of the greatest challenges and moments where I feel like I was able to kind of prove something to myself as a songwriter because we sent it to him and Sting approved the song and came to the studio and spent 5 hours with us recording. So funny story that happened in the studio while we were recording Sea Dreamer with Sting. Was that I had given him the lyrics that I had spent the last 2 days working on. And he went in the studio and spent about 5 hours going back and forth, getting all the vocals correct. And then he walked out with his glasses on and kind of tilted them down and wrote 80 over 100 in red pen on my lyric sheet. And I asked him what that meant. And he said that you get 100 for lyrics, but you get 80 for spelling. So he had corrected some of my spelling while we were working. So that was quite a funny thing.
That's hilarious, yeah. Oh my God, that's hilarious. Wow, really, humble of you. And tell me, how do you feel, what do you feel about, the music scene currently in India, the independent music scene or Bollywood? Mm-hmm. Is it a breeding, ground, a fertile breeding ground for, new kind of music to happen? What do you see? How do you perceive?
Yeah, I think there's new music happening all the time. I think there's so much new music happening, in all different genres, both. And the thing is that right now I don't really see a scene in India that differs from the scenes in the rest of the world. I think that, what's happening in, say, folk music around the world is also happening in India. So what's happening in hip hop all over the world is also happening in India. What's happening in rock music, what's happening in electronic music, techno music, whatever style of music that exists in the world is happening and thriving in India.
Right.
So it's for me, calling it like the indie scene and things like that is almost diminishing, the scope of what is possible. Indian artists are international artists now. They're part of the larger lexicon. They're not representing India as much as they're representing the wider world and the new generation that we all are a part of.
Absolutely. And, that is the, language that, your music speaks. That's really something that we as a world, we need right now. And Touch is, the perfect album, I must say. So thanks to you for giving such a lovely album. What would you like to, tell our listeners and viewers about this album?
Well, I hope that for me, it was a diary of the past year that we've all been through. So I hope that it, plays as some sort of balm or therapy or just fun. There's moments on the album where it's just about letting go of all of it, And then there's certain parts of the album where you're really indulging in the nostalgia or the emotional spaces that you were in. I just hope that it means something to people. That's more than anything, whenever I make any kind of music, I just hope that it reaches somebody and means something to them more than just something that they're listening to for entertainment.
Wow. Any of your future projects that you would like to, talk about or reveal anything that you're working on something?
Well, soon after Touch comes out, Touch is coming out as Touch One, which is the first part. So in about a month's time, the second part, Touch Two, will come out, which is another six new tracks that will be released. And then through the year, I'll be releasing a couple of new projects as well, which are still kind of in the works. But, you know, we're also still in an industry that's up in the air. So
yeah.
So who knows? All of these answers may change.
Absolutely. Come on. Now, my five-year-old daughter, she's a regular feature of my podcast.
Hello,
because she's bound to, you know, kind of interrupt. And Sasha, you're meeting a wonderful musician.
Hi, Sasha.
Yeah.
Oh, so sweet.
Sasha, you can't hear him, but I'll make you listen to his music. Just something that you should listen. Okay, give Mama 5 minutes and I'll be with you.
No.
Oh, you must keep all of this.
I know. All right. Sasha, I'll see you in 5 minutes.
Mama, please.
I'll see you in 5 minutes. Thank you.
That's priceless. Priceless moment.
So sweet. Thank you so much. If you could share any insight or anything that you would want to share, what is that creative discipline in you that has helped you become what you are?
What I would say is, something that I do that I've always in my creative process is to find what is analogous to what I'm experiencing. What I mean by that is, if I'm listening to a particular type of music, or even if I'm watching a particular type of film, or see some sort of visual art, so that I find something analogous to something else and find that connection. And for me, that's how I've been able to find connections between Indian classical music and not just Indian classical music, but a particular rag with a particular sound, a particular mood or a particular, you know, style that works with a particular sounding instrument, and something that wouldn't have been something you might not have heard before, but something that you find by just continuing to be curious about what is analogous to this.
Wow, lovely. Thank you so much, Karsh. It has been just wonderful. Your album Touch, you know, the first series and the second series, lots of love from, you know, us fans.
Oh, it's been fantastic. I've had a great time. And you've been a fantastic host. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me once again. Hi, this is Karsh Pallay. You were listening to 9XM Soundcast. Make sure you subscribe.
Learning something new every day. Striving to create original music. Experiment, explore, and bringing out your unique identity in your music or your creation. Karsh Kale's music has always been so inspiring, and it's wonderful how he infuses modernity into traditional music. How his music always succeeds in telling a story. Maybe that's why he strongly speaks of his music or the tabla being a language. This dynamic approach towards music is worth noticing. Tell me, listener, how you enjoyed this episode with Karsh Kale. So guys, share with me your experience of listening to this podcast. Write to me at eva.bhatt@9xmedia.in. You can connect with me on Instagram at Eva Bhatt Podcast. Rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to the podcast on Epilog Media, the website, so that you don't miss any episode. You can also enjoy the videos of our previous episodes on the official YouTube channel of 9XM and Spotlamp. Just search 9XM Soundcast on YouTube. I will talk to you guys next Wednesday with a fresh episode. This is me, Eva, signing off for now. You were listening to 9XM Soundcast on Epilog Media. Hey listener, did you check out 9XM Song Secret? A perfect podcast for music lovers, जहां host Shefali Juneja बात करती हैं आपके favorite artists के साथ उनके कुछ secrets जानने. वो secrets क्या हैं? For that you will have to listen to this cool podcast 9XM Song Secret.